I don't have Rosemary to ease my anxiety, so you guys are it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Great Lent. Our Lenten journey continues. We've increased our fasting, and we fast more fervently. We've increased our praying, and we pray more fervently. And we increase our almsgiving, hopefully more fervently. The journey is a long journey. And I think it's good for us not only to know where we're at today, but to look back and look forward to see what the path of the journey is. We started with the publican and the Pharisee, where the theme was humility versus self-righteousness. Then to the prodigal son, where the theme was repentance and penance. And then to Judgment Sunday, where we affirmed and were reminded that God is the righteous judge. And then last Sunday, Forgiveness Sunday, where we remember the theme of fasting and forgiveness. Both are absolutely necessary for our pathway to heaven. Our journey continues. Today is the Sunday of Orthodoxy. But before we talk about that, let's look forward a little bit. What's coming next Sunday is St. Gregory Palamas, the theme of theosis and how to be like God. Then the Sunday of the Cross, where the theme is how the cross is a symbol of our salvation. Then St. John Climacus, where the theme is the pathway to heaven. And then St. Mary of Egypt. I happen to have her icon. St. Mary of Egypt, through her repentance and extreme asceticism, actually achieved theosis and is an example for us. I can think, and I'm not a theologian, I know of three people who walked on water. Jesus, Peter. He didn't do it very well, but Peter, and St. Mary of Egypt. And then finally, Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Each Sunday has a special meaning and a special significance. Today, we remember the restoration of icons into the Holy Church. This is the Sunday of Orthodoxy. This is a Sunday that we call the triumph of Orthodoxy. The iconoclastic controversy was in the 700s and 800s. It literally shook the foundations of the church, and not only the church, the entire Byzantine Empire. For some, the reverence of icons and the miracles that are ascribed to them were taken out of the orthodox or proper context. And they had a religious zealotry that made their worship of icons excessive. We don't worship icons. It became idolatry. So on this side, you had people who were idolatrous. I read a story about priests that would scrape the paint from the icon into the chalice where the body and blood of Christ was. Truly not orthodox. The response to this unorthodox practice was to take icons out of the church. Another excessive, unorthodox practice. So you have for decades those that worshipped icons idolatrously and those who removed icons from the church. neither was orthodox, and neither maintained the proper theology that we believe. So what is the orthodox approach to icons? They serve to protect the doctrinal teachings of the church. They express the divine through art and beauty. Icons are to be venerated, respected, and honored, but not worshiped. Worship is due God alone. The love and honor and respect of worship is God's. This controversy ended at the Seventh Ecumenical Council. And they said, the Holy Father said, whenever icons are contemplated, they will cause those who look at them to commemorate and love the prototype. The prototype, the original. So when we look at an icon of Jesus, for example, we look at the icon, we reverence it, but it becomes a window for us to the original. It helps us remember and honor the life of Jesus, his birth, his teachings, his death and resurrection, his ascension, from the beginning, literally the beginning of time to the end of time. It's a window into who our God is. The Holy Father said icons should be kissed. They're an object of our veneration and honor, but not of real worship. Why do we start Great Lent this way? Well, I kind of think it's always good to start with a victory, right? The triumph of orthodoxy, a victory for the truth, the true faith. It shows the significance of the time and the events. It shows the significance of icons. Icons aren't optional. They're part of our faith. They're windows into our faith. So they're not optional. They're central to the worship of God and to our faith as Orthodox Christians. The triumph of icons emphasize the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can see it through the icons. We see those who participate in it through the icons. We see the events central to our faith in the icons. We learn our faith through the icons. And we are allowed to participate in the life of Christ, those who serve him, and all the events surrounding him ourselves through the icons. We are participants, active participants in the faith that we believe. And I want you to remember one thing. We're talking about icons. You are the image of Christ. You are an icon of Christ. Thus, you are a window to the events and life of Christ our God. Make your window clear and clean so that when people look on your image, they see Jesus Christ. We have icons in our churches. You can't go to an Orthodox church or an Orthodox anything without icons. At a bare minimum, if you go to the smallest church, you'll see an icon of Christ and of the Theotokos. We have icons in our homes, in our workplaces, in our cars, on our jewelry. We have icons because they express our true faith. Today starts a Sunday of events and people and times that actually lead to a very dark remembrance. Even when we get to Holy Week, even the church becomes dark. And we remember the betrayal, the trial, the beating, the crucifixion, and burial of our Lord. But it's not the end of the journey. Remember, today we start with a victory. Next week, we learn about St. Gregory Palamas, the victory of humanity against divinity, where we can become Christ-like through theosis. Truly a victory. We remember the cross, a symbol of death, but for us, it's a symbol of salvation. Truly a victory. St. John Climacus, the pathway to heaven from earth, most often sinful and corrupt. The pathway to heaven, our paradise, truly a victory. St. Mary of Egypt, a sinful woman for her early life, who turned around, found Christ, lived an ascetical existence, achieved theosis, and is an example for us. Truly a victory. And the victory of Christ's entrance, humble entrance into Jerusalem. He didn't come as a king, but they treated him as a king. Truly a victory. At the end of our journey is the ultimate victory, the glorious resurrection, the glorious Pascha. So remember the journey ahead. Take a look back, take a look today, but remember the journey ahead. And those who have already made that journey, they become windows of our true faith. Grab your icons and possess today as our brothers and sisters in Christ did 1,200 years ago. It is the true faith. Truth is victorious, and orthodoxy prevailed, and that's what we remember today. Glory to God now and forever. Amen.